There are issues around the globe that sometimes can worry us, can sometimes bewilder us. Sometimes it may even make us pause to ask God, why? And so today, I want us to look at an Old Testament prophet of Habakkuk. Because one of the things that I hope that you will appreciate is that the Bible really is a living document that is alive today. It breathes life into us today. It has truth for us today, just as it did thousands of years ago. And it is not too shocking to see that there are parallels of the Old Testament and today. Because the world is still comprised of sinful people in a fallen world, at war with a God who loves them, but who is righteous and requires righteous living. So if you have your Bibles with me, if you would turn to Habakkuk chapter 1. Now it's right after Nahum, which probably doesn't help you much. But if you have your smartphone version, you can always just kind of easily move into it. If you have the old print version, there's a table of contents in the front. Page 1521 in your Bible. It's 783 in mine. It's interesting to me. These are called minor prophets. If you know anything about the Old Testament, it's divided into the Pentateuch, the first five, and then you have your history, then you have the wisdom literatures like Psalms and Proverbs, and you have the major prophets like Jeremiah and Isaiah, and then you have these guys like Habakkuk and Nahum and all these little guys who just kind of went around spreading the word of God. They're in no way minor. They confronted major issues. They fought against injustice with justice. They fought against lies with truth. Many of them lost their lives and lived very difficult lives while they were here on earth because they went against the tide. Habakkuk was one of those men. He was a prophet who was speaking out to Israel when Israel was doing really well. They were in their prosperous years. And they ignored God because of it. Sound familiar? And Habakkuk was crying out and he asked God some questions because he saw on the horizon that there was some calamity coming. And the calamity was in the form specifically of the Babylonians, who we eventually know through historic documents and through the Bible that they do eventually take Israel into captivity by the hand of God as punishment for rebelling. But Habakkuk is asking a question. He has a grievance with God. And I want to start off by asking you to think about that for a second. Have you ever had a grievance with God? Have you ever thought, I really don't like that? Maybe it was a death of a loved one too soon. Maybe it was a bad break in life when you thought you were doing right. Maybe it was some injustice that you see in the world or natural disaster that you're like, God, I know you're in charge. Why did you allow that? Maybe it's right now. Maybe you look at the landscape of the culture of the United States, and for some of you, you remember a day when the majority of Americans read the Bible, quoted the Bible, lived by the Bible. Maybe you remember when it was okay that you prayed in school and not just on test day. Maybe you remember a time when people opened ceremonies with a minister who came and blessed the event instead of celebrities who curse and just draw a crowd. Maybe you have a grievance with God today. So I believe there's something we can learn from this prophet. Some 3,000 years ago, he asked these questions of God. Verse 2, "How long, O Lord, must I call for help, but you do not listen? Or cry out to you, violence, but you do not save? Why do you make me look at injustice? Why do you tolerate wrong? Destruction and violence are before me. There is strife and conflict abounds. Therefore, the law is paralyzed and justice never prevails. The wicked hem in the righteous so that justice is perverted." You could probably turn to your local newspaper or news source or your app on your phone and within a few seconds find similar questions. Whether it was police brutality or intolerance or the passage of laws or not the passage of laws or why this happens or that happens or what is going on in the world. Why are there people that just have no concern for other living beings? We too often look at those things and maybe we are afraid to ask God, but Habakkuk asked for us. And I believe with all my heart that the Bible is the inspired word of God and it's written to instruct us. Paul tells us that the Old Testament was given to instruct us, to encourage us. And perhaps this passage, if nothing else, is to help us to say it's okay to ask God. Now, if you've ever had a problem where you needed some help and you've called that helpline, first of all, they're automated, right? And it's usually in at least two, sometimes three languages, and you have to go through each one of them every time. And then it asks you to spell out things. Now, in the old days, you had to touch the phone and tell them, like, you know, the number or what you wanted. Now it's always voice command. And I think sometimes I have a voice that's not recognized. Have you ever had those moments when you're on the phone and it's giving you those options? To talk to customer service, say service. To talk to complaints, talk to complaints. To talk to an operator, say operator. To get your balance, say balance. But you have to wait through the whole thing. And then there's that pause. And if you don't say it just at the right time, it starts again. Or then you say the word and you're like, balance. Customer service, just a moment. Why do you need to talk to customer service? Say complaint. Say, I'm like, by now I'm just like, customer service! Now, some of the systems you could press zero repeatedly and it would finally kick you over to the operator. They bypassed that now. If you press zero more than three times, it hangs up, I think. Or it puts you in a perpetual holding pattern. And I'm feeling this frustration in Habakkuk because he's like, all right, God, I'm on the God hotline. I'm asking you the question, why? And I'm not getting an answer. How long do I have to cry out? How long do I have to be on the helpline? Well, God gives him an answer. And I believe that there's some wisdom that we can gain from God's answer. Here's what God says, beginning in verse 5. "Look at the nations and watch and be utterly amazed. For I am going to do something in your days that you would not believe, even if you were told." And before I go on a little bit further, let me just stop right there. When I read this, I think immediately when I was a child, my mother would give me these answers. Like, you wouldn't understand. When you're older, and I'd be like, oh, I'm 12, Mom, I know. I'm a man of the world. You can, you know, give it to me. And then sometimes they would explain it, and I'd be like, oh, yeah, I totally get that. And then I have to go to my room and think, what was that about? And I find myself as a parent doing that now. As my kids ask me questions that are about huge topics, about world terrorism, about the atrocities that are going on, and you try to explain it so that a 9-year-old would understand. And it's like, just when you're older, you'll understand. It's not for you to understand. If I told you right now, you still wouldn't get it. Multiply that times a million. And imagine the infinite, all-knowing Creator God. And we ask him a question, and he's like, if I told you, you wouldn't believe me. But I'll give you a little hint. Watch the nations, because I'm going to do something amazing. And this is what he tells us. And think in your mind as you hear these verses, if this sounds like a particular group who are on the move right now. Now, I'm not going to tell you, I'm going to just forewarn you. I'm not saying God is behind ISIS. Please don't hear this. But what I'm saying is that when those of us who particularly question why a group like that is allowed to exist and continues to grow, where is God? Hear these words from God. Verse 6, I am raising up the Babylonians, that ruthless and impetuous people who sweep across the earth to seize dwelling places not their own. Sound familiar? They are feared and dreaded people. They are a law to themselves and promote their own honor. Their horses are swifter than leopards, fiercer than wolves at dusk. Their cavalry gallops heading. Their horsemen come from afar. People are recruited every day. We hear about it around the world, in America, in Canada, in England, throughout Europe. Men and women who are trying to leave the countries to go and join this fight. It says their horsemen come from afar. They fly like vultures swooping to devour. They all come bent on violence. Their hordes advance like a desert wind and gather prisoners like sand. They deride kings and scoff at rulers. They laugh at all fortified cities. They build earthen ramps and capture them. Then they sweep past them like the wind and go on. Guilty men whose own strength is their God. Habakkuk was concerned, and rightly so, because there was a time when the Babylonians did come, and they swept across the Middle East, and they swept across Israel, and he took the Israelites captive. Now, I am not saying here today that those who are radical Islamic and ISIS and ISIL, whichever one you want to refer to, is going to come across the world. But I will tell you that that spirit of evil against God is prevalent. It may be we don't understand, and I am not going to stand here today and tell you that I understand any of it, but I understand this, that I have a God who's in control. And if he is allowing things like those men to do the atrocities that they do, that there is a reason in the end why it must be. Eventually, Babylon came and took Israel away, but Israel humbled themselves, rectified themselves with God, and God restored them. Repeatedly, we see throughout the Old Testament and even in the New Testament, God is a God who lets us have our way sometimes just so we get ourselves in trouble. If we stand by and allow evil men to take lead, it should be no surprise that evil will prevail. We should be men and women who begin on our knees, to begin the fight, to tell God, we are on your side, we want to be with you, we want to stand with you, we want to stand against evil. Let us be a safe haven. Protect us. Jesus tells his disciples that even in his teaching on how to pray. Towards the end of that prayer, he says, to pray to God, to ask for all of us to be protected from the evil one. Because the evil one is there and he is real. Mankind, as a whole, outside of the grace of Christ, is a hard-hearted, self-centered, self-serving creature. And when that spirit is let go and fulfilled, you get things like Nazism and communism and ISIS. You get mass groups of people who buy in and give in to their carnal nature. We should not be surprised. Which is all the more reason why we who have Christ should stand for him. And stand strong. And be salt of the earth and be light of the world. And why even now, there may be those in this room who may face persecution that this country has never seen before. I think about my kids and my grandchildren and what they may have to face. We don't have cable at our house, so we have the free on-air TV. And one of the shows, the TV channels, is that they show old TV shows. By old, I mean in the 40s, the 50s and 60s and 70s. And it's interesting to watch the ones from the 50s and 60s because when there is a minister on, they are respected. People watch their language. People watch their behavior. There's a reverence. And when the church is discussed on those shows, there is a certain reverence and awe and respect for that organization. But if you quickly were to look at a modern day exposure, the church does not have that status. Christians do not have that status. There is no longer an honor or respect for God or his representatives. So should we just throw up our hands and not ask God and just blindly trust him? No, I don't believe so. I think Habakkuk is asking. As a matter of fact, God answers him with this question, says, I'm going to do these things you wouldn't understand. But Habakkuk comes back and he asks some more specific things. He says, what about these wicked men? Why are they able to prosper? Why are they able to do so well in life? And Habakkuk ends his question with this statement. At the end of his question, he says this. This is chapter 2, verse 1. Habakkuk says this, I will stand at my watch and station myself on the ramparts. I will look to see what he, meaning God, will say to me and what answer I am to give to this complaint. Habakkuk was ready to receive God's answer. Now, sometimes I think we ask questions we don't really want answered, don't we? Ladies, you take your husband shopping. You try on that pair of pants. How do these make me look? Words that men dread. Sometimes when we have serious issues, we go to one another, and I've sat in with couples who are on the verge of divorce and talked to them and asked, like, what is it you want? And it has been heartbreaking to hear when one or the other looks at the other spouse and says, I want out. I really don't love you. And the spouse is like, I take the question back. I'd rather live in ignorance. Sometimes we ask God these questions, why? But we're not willing to step up and hear the answer. I'm reminded of Job. Job goes on asking God chapter after chapter after chapter of why. And I love God's response. He gets ready to tell Job some of the reasons why, but he starts off by saying, all right, little man, gird yourself up. I'm going to give you the answer. If we're going to be bold to go before God and ask for a question, then we have to be bold and stand for the answer. Three things that I can think we can find from Habakkuk's response to this in chapter 2. Number one, we need to be where we need to be. He says, I will be standing at my watch at the station of the ramparts. The ramparts were the parts leading into the city. They were the beginning of the fortification. They were outside the walls. In the sense of you were outside the protection of your normal life. Sometimes we have to get out of our comfort zone. We have to go outside of our kind of protected area and find that answer. It is the first line of defense, and he was standing there waiting and looking for the answer to come. I don't know if you've ever anticipated something, but how was your stature? How was your demeanor? If you're expecting something wonderful to come in the mailbox, do you ever just go to the mail every day? Anticipating. Today could be the day. What if we went that way with God? Today could be the day I get that answer. I'm looking for it. And sometimes it may come from a place you don't know. God speaks through His Word. God will speak through His messengers. God will speak through song. But sometimes God will speak through a coworker who's not even a believer. Or through a situation that if you have eyes to see and ears to hear, Jesus repeatedly tells us in Revelation, He has a message for us. But you got to be where you need to be. If you're anticipating that a post is going to come in the mail, you stand by the mailbox, right? If you're expecting a phone call, you stand by the phone. Of course, nowadays we carry our phones with us. But we carry it in our hand. We're looking at it. You're checking it. I'm anticipating that text to come in. I'm waiting for this message. Are you on the lookout? Are you where you need to be? Second thing, look for an answer from God. Jeremiah 29:13 says this. God tells us, if you will seek me, you will find me. And when you seek me with all of your heart, I will answer you. Are you seeking the question to be answered? Last week I talked about living water and I talked about the Holy Spirit flowing through us, and one of the responsibilities and roles of the Holy Spirit is to ask questions, to pray for us, to engage with God when we cannot. Maybe in order to find that answer from God, you have to ask the right question. And maybe if you're not getting an answer, you need to pray the Holy Spirit to assist you to ask the right question. But all of that requires us to live by faith. Habakkuk says this. I'm sorry. God tells to Habakkuk this in verse 4. Speaking about the men who are unrighteous, those who are living according to their own law, he says this. They are puffed up. Their desires are not righteous, but the righteous will live by faith. The righteous will live by faith. We had a celebrity of sorts come into our town last week. Some of you may not have known it. Some of you may have gone. Teresa Caputo is the Long Island medium. She was on TV. She's going around doing seminars. She has books. And last week she was at the Ford Center to a packed house. of men and women who came to receive a message from beyond. Now, the churches every Sunday have services where we deliver a message, a real message from beyond, from a Savior who died, went into the grave, and came back to life, and now sits at the right hand of God. And we who worship God and have the Holy Spirit through us have a message from the spirit realm. And it's not about where did my lost watch go? Or yes, Fido is in heaven with Grandpa. It is a life-saving, changing message that God loves us. Now, Teresa was here and many people went. And many people were amazed at her abilities. And oddly enough, she contributes her abilities to God. And claims that that is why that she's able to do this. Now that's living by faith in a false faith. That's faith of a person. As though this person has a special insight that no other human being has. This is a person who is the complete opposite of what Hebrews 11:1 tells us. Faith is the confidence and the hope and assurance for what we do not see because of what we have seen. And what have we seen? What had the disciples seen? The disciples saw a Savior who had died. Peter writes in his epistles, he says, I don't tell you secondhand, I was firsthand witness. To paraphrase, the dude was dead. He was in a grave. And then we had a picnic together on the side of the sea with some fish. And he confronted me about loving his sheep. I know. And story after story after story, the disciples and the followers of Christ testify to that fact. And Acts chapter 1 tells us that they saw him rise into heaven. And disappear, ascending into heaven to be with his Father. It was seen. Our faith is not based on trickery or clever words. It is based on fact and eyewitness accounts. Jesus Christ died. He was buried. He rose again. He is alive today. If we seek to have a grievance with God, let us be where we need to be. And if you don't know where that is, ask. Ask the Holy Spirit to do His job, to open your eyes and open your ears and open your heart. You don't know where that answer may come from. But seek the answer from God. Not your horoscope, not some TV, celebrity, supposed spiritualist. Not for me or any other man who stands in a pulpit. Seek it from God. And finally, live by faith. God says, the righteous will live by faith. Abraham was the father of faith. Why? Because he believed. Paul writes in Ephesians, it is by faith that we are saved. Should we have the ability to ask God questions? Absolutely. He's a big God. He can handle it. Be prepared for the answer. Be prepared to not totally understand, but for God to give you enough so you can trust Him and see with your eyes as he moves and you live by faith. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, just thank you so much that you are a God who you don't overburden us with the details that we don't need. God, we are like children when it comes to understanding this world. So thank you that you don't explain everything. But God, when we are struggling to understand either globally or locally or in our own personal life that things are going on that just seems like we are going backwards instead of forwards, Heavenly Father, I, like Habakkuk, ask, how long must we cry out for help? But let us be like this prophet who stood and said, I am looking for the answer. Give us courage to do so and give us empowerment through the Holy Spirit, your living water, to give us life and courage and understanding. And God, in all of this, may it build up our faith and bring glory to you. It's in your name we pray. Amen.